Thanks for joining us for this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
They just played a joke on me from last hour. You don't get it because you weren't there. I'll explain later. Hey, really glad you guys are here. How many of you have ever moved? Both hours. No one just responds. Everybody goes, yes, I have. It's funny. That's funny. But yeah, that's pretty much a shared experience, right? Everybody's experienced moving at some point. Maybe you moved as a kid. Maybe your parents moved to a new place. Maybe you went to school somewhere. Maybe you changed jobs. But we've all had that experience of having to pack things up and move, right? And so we also have had the same experience of as you're packing stuff up, you start to pack up stuff and you find stuff when you're packing, right, that you completely forgot you had. And you're like, man, I could have used that the last 2 years. I wish I had known I had that. Or you pack up stuff and even as you're packing it up, you're like, why am I packing this up? I'll never use it. Or maybe, see if anybody will confess to this. If you've moved a fair amount, right, how many of you, when you were moving from like your second place you'd moved, okay, you finally got to that closet that you had abandoned or the attic that you ignored, and you got up there and you found boxes that you had never opened from your previous move. But I bet every one of you relabeled it and moved it again, right? You didn't throw it away. I don't know why we do that, but we do. We just move stuff. But one of the things that happens to me when I move, because I'm a sentimental baby, is I get nostalgic about the move. I can remember when I was in college, we had moved to Florence, South Carolina. That's where I grew up. We moved there when I was about to start fourth grade. We lived in the same house until I was in college. And I can remember packing up that house to move it, and my bedroom was upstairs. And I can remember my last little walk from my bedroom down our stairs. I started crying, man. I tried to not let anybody know. I was just, you know, the I'm not going to cry face where you think you're going to explode. But I did. I got nostalgic because I was flooded with everything that had happened in that house. I mean, fourth grade to college. I mean, when you're in college, fourth grade to college is your entire life. So I'm like, my entire life was there. And I can just remember thinking about all those things and remembering. And I'm sure you guys have had the same experiences as you've moved. And, you know, as I said earlier, today is moving day for Wellspring. The second the service is over, we're packing up and we're moving, which is why you're all here. Gotcha. I'm just kidding. We have a lot of volunteers to help. But don't you hate it? You've all had friends who conned you over, right? Like, hey, we're going to have pizza tonight. You want to come over? And you come over and there's boxes out. And you're like, you're a jerk. And we're not doing that. But we are moving today. And so what I wanted to do, kind of as we end this chapter and we begin to start a new chapter next Sunday at the YMCA, was take a moment and just reflect. Take a moment and think back to all that God has done in this place, all that God's done in my life, all that God hopefully has done in your life. And I know we still have some guests today, man. We're honored you're here. You're going to get to hear some great stories about what's happened in this place. And my hope for you today is that these stories would spur you on to come back. To say, hey, man, if this has happened to those people, I'd love to see what could happen to me. Because we'd love for you to be a part of what's going on here. But the reason we're going to talk about remembering and reflecting, the reason we're doing this today is because I believe God designed us to do this. I believe we were created to remember. I think we were created to reflect and to look back. And reflecting is kind of one of the more tough things for us to do, especially in our society. We get so busy running and chasing and trying to get the next thing that a lot of times we neglect what's happened before. And we rarely revisit what God has done in our lives. We rarely think about it. We focus on the present. We fret about the future, but we often forget the past. And so we're going to pause today because I believe God would say to you, the past is the key to the present and the future. Remembering what God's done in the past is the best way to survive the present and to walk into the future. Oftentimes, you can't tell what God's up to until you've walked through it, and then you turn around and say, oh, that's what God was doing. Well, that's awesome. God's hand is most easily seen in the past. And so I believe we're programmed to turn around and look at that and say, okay, that's what God was doing then. I understand it. Because I remember when I was in that moment, I didn't understand it, and it was terrible. But now that I'm on the outside of it, I get what he was doing. Because in the inside, my boss was a jerk, and he fired me. And that was awful. And I had no idea what was going on. But now I see, oh, he fired me because I was going to get a new job opportunity in 2 months. That's way better, and I'm more happy than I've ever been. So that makes sense. So when you look back on that, then the next time you're walking through a trial, you can remember, hey, remember that time God was there for me then? I bet he's going to be there for me now. That's why we need to spend time looking at the past. The Bible is full of stories of God challenging his people to take big, bold steps of faith for him. It's full of stories of God saying, I want you to do this. You can't do it without me, but you're going to do it, and it's going to be awesome. And every single time it happens, every single time God asks his people to take a step, he always pauses beforehand and says, now, before you do this, remember, I've always been with you. You've never taken a step that I didn't have your back. One of the bigger examples of this we find in the Old Testament, which is basically the story of the creation of the world up to about 300 years before the birth of Jesus. This is a story of God working through his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. They had been slaves in the land of Egypt. He had rescued them out of that land, and he had taken them to the promised land, which was the land, get wait for it, he had promised them. Very, very well titled. And on the eve before they were going to go into the promised land, on the night before they were going to take over and reclaim what God had promised them, because there was going to be a war, there were inhabitants, they were going to have to take them over, they were probably scared. Right before that happened, their leader, a guy named Moses, spent weeks reminding them of all that God has done. In fact, we have an entire book in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Deuteronomy. And that's what it is. It's Moses reminding the people, this is what God has done. And he's trying to encourage them for what's about to happen. And here's what he says in Deuteronomy 4:9. He says, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. What God has done for you in the past is the greatest proof the world knows that God exists. And it's the greatest proof you have that he's going to be with you in the present and he's going to provide for your future. So, what I want to do is I want to tell you a couple stories from the life of Wellspring. Some you've heard, some you have not heard. To kind of show you some of the markers we have as a church, some of the things God has done in our life. And then I'm going to challenge you to spend some time reflecting on your own life and see how God has moved in your life here at Wellspring or other places. And then we're going to end together basically participating in the ultimate act of remembering, which is communion. It was a gift that Christ gave to the church on the night before he died, but I'll explain that in a minute. First, I want to tell you some stories about Wellspring. Some of my favorite stories, some of the stories that I still cling to, that I look back on and say, okay, God, I know you're with me. I know you've got this. And the first one is how Wellspring came to be. Again, some of you know this story, some of you don't. But I was living in a suburb of Fort Worth, Texas, called Keller, Texas, working at a church called Keystone Church that I had helped start with the senior pastor, Brandon Thomas. And my wife and I were out there. We had 2 kids at the time. And quite frankly, we loved our life. We loved Texas, Texas forever. We loved, got a couple of Friday Night Light fans. We loved Texas. We loved our church. We had great friends. I loved my job. We had basically told our families, sorry, we ain't coming back. Texas is our home for life. We'll see you at the holidays. We were fine. We loved it. There was not an inkling, not an itching at all to step out of what we were doing. And that all changed April 15th of 2008. April 15th, 2008. I was in Birmingham, Alabama at what's called a pastor's conference. It's basically a conference where pastors get together and speakers kind of speak directly to pastors and give them encouragement. You bring guys in who are really good at their job, and they kind of help you know what to do. And it was a great conference. And I was there with my senior pastor. We were just kind of checking things out. And a man by the name of Dino Rizzo, Pastor Dino Rizzo, Healing Place Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was speaking at this conference. Now, what I didn't know at the time that I know now because I've told him the story, Dino grew up, you guessed it, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Insane. Dino grew up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So anyway, Dino's preaching, and he's preaching from a text, from a verse that if you've been to Wellspring even once, if you've seen our banners, it's going to be very familiar to you. This is what he was preaching from Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And here's what Pastor Dino was preaching. He was preaching directly to senior pastors. And he was basically saying, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard the unique personality and spirit that God has put in you. He was basically saying, don't try to be the next Rick Warren. Don't try to be the next Billy Graham. You be you. Because God has created you. God has called you. And out of that uniqueness is going to be the wellspring of your life, the source of your life. What he was basically arguing was that God matches senior pastors with their region, with their location. He was basically saying, if you're called to pastor a church, God has prepared an area where you are uniquely gifted and qualified to pastor. And if you're trying to be other people, you'll miss it because you won't get to be who those people need you to be. And as he's preaching this, I'm just listening. I'm like, that's good stuff. Yeah. And then right in the middle of it, God spoke to me. I'm just going to say it. He spoke to me. It's one of the clearest things I've ever heard him say. He said, I've put that in you. It's time to go. And I think I probably even in the moment went, what? And I kind of had the dilemma people who follow God for a while have with the whole, okay, was that really God? Was that just me being crazy? And I definitely leaned to the side of that was just me being crazy. But I decided to entertain it a bit. The feeling wouldn't go away. So like, all right, God, sure. If this is you, ha ha, where would I go? Because you just said I'm uniquely created to serve in a certain spot perfect for me. Where would that be? And so I started thinking of kind of the hotbed of places to plant churches. I know that sounds odd to you, but in the church planting world, there are like cool places to go plant churches. Warren, the guy that was here 2 weeks ago, he's going to Seattle, Washington. That's a cool place to go plant churches. I thought about Seattle, Washington on April 15th, 2008. And I thought, is Seattle, Washington uniquely created for me? I don't like coffee and I hate rain. No, it's not for me. So I knew I wasn't going to Seattle. So I started working my way down the West Coast because that was kind of the cool place to plant. Thought about San Diego. Thought about the San Francisco Bay Area. Thought about Phoenix, Arizona. Thinking about all that stuff. And as I'm thinking, again, so clear, I saw a map in my brain with a big star over Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It said Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hey, thank you. And God said, Myrtle Beach is where you're going. Side note, what does it say about me or Myrtle Beach that we are uniquely paired together? I don't know. I don't know if that says more about me or you guys because you live here. But anyway, it says where we're going to go. And so I prayed about it for the next couple of days. Danny wasn't with me. I didn't tell her anything about it. I came home, told her what I felt like God was saying. When she picked herself up off the floor, She prayed about it for a few days. God had told me, I put this in you, go. God told her, I've equipped him, go. And so, on Monday, I have the date written. Monday, April 21st, that night, we're sitting in our house in Texas, talking about it, and I said, we got to go. And she said, I know. So we held hands, hit our knees, and committed to God that we'd move here, start this church. Tuesday morning, I went to work and talked to my senior pastor, and I said, I got to talk to you, man. Called me in his office. I told him the story, big smile on his face. He said, I've been waiting on this conversation for a long time. I knew you were going to go. We're going to support you. You're going to be the first church plant at Keystone. And so we moved very, very quickly. I was called on April 15th. I told Brandon on April 22nd. My last day at the church was May 18th. And by June 18th, I was on the road to Myrtle Beach. In case you're wondering, in the book of how to plant a church, that ain't how you do it. But it was what God wanted us to do. So that's how we started this journey. The next story I'm going to tell you, you've never heard before. As I was sharing this with the staff a couple weeks ago, they were like, you've never told this story publicly, which I can't believe because I've told it privately so long. But that was the journey of getting us out the door. And we were so excited, and we were going to have to sell our house in Texas. We weren't going to move yet. My father lives here. My father said, why don't you just come live with us so you sell your house, sell with me so you sell your house. And after I made him offer it about five times, I was like, okay, now I really believe you. We're coming. And so on June 18th, we had packed up, and we were moving to South Carolina. At 4 a.m. that morning, my older son David woke up with a fever and throwing up as we were about to start a car ride, a 1,200-mile car ride. So we have to take a detour to the pediatrician's office, which, of course, is packed. So we leave like two and a half hours late, which if you know me, you know that drives me insane. I'm a little OCD. I'm a lot OCD, actually. That was the joke earlier because they actually put my podium up here so that it is perfectly in line with the lines on this carpet because it drives me crazy. And when I came out, he had it turned like that because he's funny. So anyway, we're 2.5 hours late out of the gate, all right? So me and God already started to have a conversation. Like, dude, I'm doing this for you. What's going on? So we get in the car, we start riding. I had arranged it to where my mother and my mom had flown out to help us. Danny, my mom, and the two kids were in one car. I was in the other car by myself because I had to pray. And so we're going along, and then I get the first phone call. Now John's sick, and he's throwing up. Okay, God is good. We're going to keep going along. I get another call. Yeah, he's sick again. They're both sick. It's just going everywhere. We got to do something. And I'm like, God is with us. We're going to persevere. Finally, about the fourth phone call, we stop in Longview, Texas. Couldn't even get out of the state of Texas before we had to stop because they just needed to get out of the car. The kids were screaming. They weren't happy. As we pull into the parking lot of the Kentucky Hut, everyone familiar with the Kentucky Hut, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut. We pulled into the parking lot of the Kentucky Hut. I was letting God have it. I know you've never done that. I was. Just in the car saying, God, man, what is happening? I am doing this for you. I loved my job. I loved my life. I don't know these people in Myrtle Beach. I don't know why you want me to move there. I am fine. I will turn this car around right now. I was beaten down. My mom and my wife were just beaten down. My kids were too young. They didn't know. But this is how bad it was. When we walked into the Kentucky Hut, without even saying a word, none of us got in line to eat. We all immediately just walked to some booths, sat down, and just sighed. Just looked at each other. And felt as defeated as you ever felt in our life. Now, I set all this up because what I'm about to tell you next, you will not believe. I'm just telling you, you won't believe it. But I promise on everything in me, it happened. We were over 1,000 miles away from Myrtle Beach. We were in Longview, Texas, at a Kentucky Hut. And this song started playing. I swear. Longview, Texas, Kentucky Hut. And this started playing. And we all just looked at each other like, is that what I think? There is no way. Did that just happen? That just happened. To this day, I don't know if anybody else in that place heard it, but I know we did. And I'm just telling you, in that moment, everything changed. Everything changed. Longview, Texas, 1,000 miles from Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach Day starts playing. So put that in your God's not real pipe and smoke it. Because I don't know what to do with that information. blew our minds, lifted our spirits, told that story. I still tell that story. Folks, when I was standing with Eric Colquitt and he showed me the email that said, you've got to leave this middle school now, you know what I thought back to? Myrtle Beach days. That's my God. He can wink at me in a Kentucky hut in Longview, Texas. He can handle this. And if you like that, if you want that to be your ringtone, go to wellspringchurch.tv/ringtones, and there it is. Download that junk. You be walking along having a bad day, somebody will call you, Myrtle Beach days. Oh, yeah, I feel good now. I've told that story so often. It's shocking to me that I haven't told it publicly because it has affected everything we've done as a church. I 100% believe that was a supernatural event. You can't explain to me logically why the Kentucky Hut in Longview, Texas will be playing an obscure beach song that people within a 30-mile radius of Myrtle Beach, that's it. Nobody else has ever heard of it. But there it was. So anyway, that's the things that pumps me up. Those are the moments that I remember. There's some other highlights to our move that I reflect on a lot. We had two different families, two different guys who were on staff at churches, well-paying jobs, quit their jobs, moved their families, one halfway across the country, one completely across the country, to work here for nothing, for free. And I don't know if you think preachers are all just super holy, but that ain't normal. Usually the second question asked in an interview is how much does it pay? And that's only because it'd be rude to ask it the first question. But these guys did, man. They believed. TJ moved here November of 2008. He and his family moved here to help us start this church. Eric came a little later, March 2010. You deal with that as you wish. I think it means he had less faith, but whatever. But Eric got here March 2010, man, because they just felt like God was calling them here to do this. I can't tell you how often I reflect on that, and I just say, God, thank you for giving me guys who believed in you enough to do that. Here's a story that some of you know, some of you don't. When we were still in the movie theater, this was on October 24th of 2010. I call this the day we canceled church. We tried to cancel church one day. I get to the movie theater, and every exit of Broadway at the Beach is blocked by police officers because there is a fun run 10K something going on all around. And at that time, our service times were 9:30 and 11, and I get there. And he said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. We're meeting at the movie theater. He kind of looked at me and laughed. And he said, what time? I said, our first service is at 9:30. He said, not today, it's not. I just kind of dropped my head. He said, yeah, this won't be done until at least 10, and nobody's getting through. So I go inside. We talk to Eric and TJ, and I'm like, all right, we got to cancel the first service. We got to go on Facebook, Twitter, just tell everybody we know. 9:30 is canceled. We'll see everybody at 11. We tried as hard as we could to get it out, okay? Here's what happened. Our 9:30 service was the biggest 9:30 service we'd ever had. We ended up growing over 40% in one day. I mean, we had people arguing with the cops. Like, it's the closest some of our people have ever been to persecution. They're like, I will overcome this struggle. But they got, I still don't get it. We had guests come, and we really haven't looked back. It was almost as if God said, okay, now that I've got you completely helpless, let me move. And he did. I love that story. I loved that the day I tried to cancel church, we grew 40% in one day. I just love that. Helps me remember, it's not about me. It's not on me. And so you can see why when we got the email, when we got the call, hey, you got to move out of this school. Well, we were like, okay, God's got our back. We'll see what happens. Because we know he's going to be with us. We know he's going to take care of us. Some of you know the story of the YMCA. We were 100% evicted from this place on a Wednesday. We toured the YMCA on a Thursday, and it was ours on Friday. And we just knew it would be. We just knew God was going to have our back. And then we had to raise the money to move. We did this thing called Next Level. And you guys remember that? You were a part of that. At this moment, the goal was $80,000 pledged. At this moment, we're sitting at over $87,000 pledged to Next Level. And that's a four-month, it was a four-month commitment, right? We've already raised $43,000. We're almost halfway there in a little less than a month. And that's just because you guys are allowing God to move through you. And see, all these things are going to help us to remember the next time something happens. Yeah, but God's with us. God's for us. So nothing can stop us. Wellspring's been homeless before. I told you guys that we were kicked out of our first meeting location 2 weeks before we launched the church. I was sitting in a Kotako hut in Longview, Texas, seriously considering turning around. In Myrtle Beach days. See, the reason we focus on all this stuff is because you are going to have moments where you're down. You're going to have moments where you struggle. You're going to have moments where you're confused, where you don't know what God is going to do. And what God is screaming at you is, if you want to know what I'm doing now, look at what I've done before. He gave us his book, God's Word, full of stories of him providing. If you've been walking with God more than a day, you've probably experienced him provide for you. And even if you weren't, he's still been at work in your life to get you to where you are right now. I said at the beginning that the book of Deuteronomy was an entire story of remembering, of reflecting what God has done. And in it, what God asks his people to do is to set up markers, to set up reminders for them so that when they're down, they know where to go. They know where to look. They know where to say, okay, God, I'm down right now, but I remember you were with me here, so now you're going to be with me now. So here's what I'm going to challenge you guys to do just for a moment. I invite you right now, go ahead and bow your heads and just close your eyes for a minute. What I kind of want to do is I kind of want to talk to you. I kind of want to guide you through a little exercise of remembering for yourself. I want you to think about your experiences here at Wellspring Church. And again, maybe this is your first time. So just think about other experiences you've had with God, or maybe you don't believe in God. I dare you right now to just say, hey, God, if you're real, speak to me. I dare you. But those that call Wellspring home, think about Wellspring for a minute. Just reflect. What's your favorite memory of Wellspring? What warms your heart? What gets you excited to think about? Let me help you. Maybe it's that you yourself discovered Jesus here and you tasted life here and your life's been changed. Remember that moment. Or maybe it's that you remember the look on a friend's face when they began believing for the first time, when they tasted that God was real. Maybe you watched someone that you love take the step of obedience and baptism. Maybe it was your spouse, or maybe it was your son or daughter. Maybe you saw them be baptized and it moved your heart. Maybe it's a picture of your spouse or your child or someone that you never believed would raising their hands to God in worship. As we sing, I don't know what it is, but you do. I want you to think about those moments. And then here's how I want you to capture them. When you get home today or this week, I want you to send an email to us. It's very easy. Amen, like what you say at the end of a prayer. amen@wellspringchurch.tv. I want to hear your memories. I want to know your Wellspring moments. And we're going to keep them for you. And that way you'll always know where they are. You can keep the email for yourself and you'll always know, oh yeah, 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 that's what God did that day. And that feeling you have when you think about that, that's the feeling God wants to place in someone's heart every single week through this church. Through our obedience, through our invitation, through our sacrifice, God wants to take what you've experienced and multiply it through the thousands and thousands and thousands of people I believe he wants to change through this church. And so as we conclude today, you can go ahead and look at me now. As we conclude today, we're going to conclude with the ultimate act of remembering. The ultimate act that Jesus himself left his disciples the night before he was going to die. He knew they were about to walk through the toughest thing they'd ever walked through. So on the night before, he gave them a gift. He said, you don't get this now. One day you will. I want you to remember what I've done. And in the weeks and months and years since Jesus died on that cross, the church has celebrated communion. They've celebrated this act. They've celebrated this moment to remind ourselves, this is how much the God of the universe loves me. Why on earth would I follow anyone else? Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 11 says this, says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. It's just a loaf of bread. But what Jesus said is, he said, when you eat this, I want you to remember. I want you to remember that this represents my body that was beaten and broken on a cross for you because I love you that much. And then he said, and I also want you to, when you drink the wine, I want you to remember that this is my blood. This is the blood that was spilled and paid for you. This blood paid the price, paid the penalty for every mistake you'll ever commit in your entire life. This blood set you free. And so when we take communion, it's not just a ritual. It is a memorial. It is a remembering. As you eat the bread, you remember, that's right. He paid the price for me. As you drink the blood, you remember, that's right. He paid the price for me. The most loving act ever brought on humanity. When he gave his life for you. And you remember that in the moments where you want to struggle. You remember that in the moments where you say, it'd be so much easier to go against what God wants. It'd be so much easier to do things my way. It'd be so much easier to turn around and drive back to Texas. God says, no. See, this is what I've done for you. This is what I've given you. This is what brings you life. And every time you question, every time you doubt, I'm going to be there to remind you. I love you. I have your back. I died for you. And you don't have to worry. I'm with you. So as we close, what I want to do is I'm going to pray. And then the way we take communion here at Wellspring is a little different. We have four different communion stations. As soon as I pray, I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet and you just make your way on your own to one of the four stations. Take your cup and your bread. If you want to get together with your family, you can get to the side and pray into that, or you can turn back to your seat. It's however you feel comfortable, but it's all about remembering. And then we're going to sing a song and we're going to be dismissed. So let me pray for you now. But I hope what you take from today, don't forget to remember. Because that's where God is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for who you are, for how much you love us. Father, we thank you for all that you've done in our life, for all that you've done in the life of this church. We praise you for where we are, and we rejoice for where we're going. Father, we cling to your promise that if you are with us and for us, nothing can stop us. Remind us now, as we focus on your sacrifice, that this sacrifice makes everything else possible. And we are called to live a life worthy of this sacrifice. So in your son's name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, go to wellspringchurch.tv or visit us every Sunday at Wellspring Church at 9 and 10:30 a.m.